Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Episode 3 of Zanzibar Wikipedia reading. So we've started off with my sort of falling in love with the name and the exoticness, and having a memory that somehow it's got to do with Africa and Arabia and romantic views of it. And then we sort of find out that it's sort of the hub for expeditions into Central Africa, where the people just sell their people, the slaves, and slave trade. And now these islands, which are off the coast of Tanzania, which is a hybrid name of Tangawi and Zanzibar, these islands have about a million people, a fraction of a million people on them, but have endemic power shortages and violent elections, and a sizable fraction of their population is malnourished, and there's waste around the place. So my beautiful view of the World Heritage place has sort of been a bit tarnished, and this is what Wikipedia reading does for you. It sort of grinds you through these places where, you know, how does it work? How does it work? And this has been a real dirge going through these poor places, which are the butt of just British imperialism, sort of gone wrong. In this case, they had the world's shortest 38-minute war. Well, let's go to war. You wouldn't want to be on the toilet for that amount of time. I'm sure there's some people who were just, who took leave. What? Come back. Pretty amazing, but the British are pretty awful people all up. And so they're sort of adding to it. Now, I've got a bit of a sneak preview of Yemen, which is sort of more disturbing to read through. So you read this, and Zanzibar was an absolute gem for me, and just to realise what's happened to it. But they've got the Zanzibar leopard, which is still lurking in this island, which is sort of just, yeah, it's not a very big island. It's, I've forgotten how many kilometres wide it is. It's not, you know, 30 kilometres. It's sort of, the island would sit, you know, easily between here and Sydney Harbour Bridge. It's not like, and there's no great stakes. It's 120 metres tall, so it's a fairly flat, featureless island. Okay, the roads. Roads. Zanzibar has 1,600 kilometres of roads, of which 85% are tarmacked or semi-tarmacked. The remainder are earth roads, which are rehabilitated annually to make them passable throughout the year, because it's got two hot seasons near the equator. Zanzibar, to ensure the roads are passable at all times, maintained, has established the Road Fund Board, situated in Massalia, which collects fluids and disperses to the collects funds and disperses to the Ministry of Communication, whom is the road agency at the time through the Department of Road Maintenance, known as UUB. We've got the two parties, the United Front and the Party, something like that. The Road Fund Board oversees the performance agreements entered in by the Ministry of Communication and Infrastructure, while all procurements and maintenance are assumed by the latter. A million people. You know, this is sort of like, you know, a fraction. Penrith. I think Penrith, Blacktown, a few of those that clock up to a million people. Publication, public transportation. There's no government-owned public transportation in Zanzibar. They're privately owned. Dala is officially known in Zanzibar as one, the only kind of public transportation. The term Dala Dala originated from the Kishwali word dollar, or 5 shillings during the 1970s and 80s when public transport cost 5 shillings to travel to the nearest town. Therefore, travelling to town will cost you a dollar and returning again will cost you another dollar. And that's why Dollar Dollar originated. There you go. Stonetown is the main hub of the Dollar Dollars on Zanzibar, and nearly all journeys will either start or end there. There are two main Dollar Dollar stations in Stonetown, Darajana Market and Mankanawiki Market. The Darajana Market terminus serves north and northeast of the island, and the market terminus serves south and southeast. As with most East African transport, the buses do not run on set schedules, instead departing when full. There is no fixed schedule, and it's not possible to book tickets in advance, with the exception of the Zanzibus.com. There are plans for implementing government-operated bus service on the island, which will bring the ground transportation more in line with the relatively developed water and air infrastructure. But there is currently no timeline available for this project. This is, with Zanzibar visitors numbers set to top 1 million annually, there will be increasing pressure on the current transportation network. The bus network will reduce the number of vehicles on the road and help reduce the environmental impact of tourism on Zanzibar. Oh my God, Father God. Maritime, I like that, the dollar dollar. Dollar out, dollar in. You could get $2. There are 5 ports in the islands of Unagar and Pembla, all operated and developed by Zanzibar Ports Corporation. The main port at Malindi, which handles 90% of Zanzibar trade, was built in 1925. The port was rehabilitated between 1989 and 1992 with financial assistance by the European Union. The Italian contractor, Salani Impelgo SPA, was supposed to build wharves that lasted 60 years. However, the wharves lasted only 11 years before crumbling and degenerating because the company deviated from the specifications. After a long legal battle, the company was required in 2005 by the International Court of Arbitration to pay Zanzibar $11.6 million in damages. The port was a game. Oh God, that just sounds absolutely fun. I want my port, and I have to go to the Court of Arbitration. Oh God. Rehabilitated between 2004 and 2009 with a 31 euro grant for the European Union. The contract was awarded to Phil and Sons of Denmark. The then director of the contractor suggested that the rehabilitation would last a minimum of 50 years, but the port is again facing problems including sinking. Oh, God. Ferry accident. Ferries. Ferry accidents. So the thing is that you don't get to say the word ferry straight after it is accidents. Not ferry enjoyment or ferry efficiency, ferry accidents. The MV Faith, which began its final journey at the port of Dar es Salaam, sank in May 2009, shortly before docking at the port of Malindi. 6 of the 25 people aboard lost their lives. The sinking of the MV Spice Islander, I don't know what MV stands for, on the 10th of September 2011, after depending Yuga Island for Pemba Island, was the worst disaster in Tanzanian history. In the report, the Zanzibar House of Representatives in the 12th of October 2011, Zanzibar's second Vice President, Ambassador Self Abid Ibidi, said that 2,764 people, that's for a population that's about 2% of the population, easily, if not more, 3-4% of the population. My God, 203 bodies had been recovered, and 619 passengers were rescued. It was the worst maritime disaster in Tanzanian history. A presidential commission, however, reported that 3 months later that 1,370 people were missing, 203 bodies had been recovered, and 941 messages survived. Severe overloading caused the ferry to sink. My God. The MV Sakgit which also began its final journey from the port of Dar es Salaam, capsized in rough seas in the Kumbe Island on the 16th of July, 2012. Ferry had 447 passengers, 81 dead, 212 missing and presumed drowned, and 154 rescued. The ferry left port despite warnings from the Tanzanian Meteorological Agency for ships not to attempt the crossing from Dar es Salaam to Rugger Island because of the rough seas. The Presidential Commission reported in October 12 that overloading was the cause of the disaster. The airport. Zanzibar main airport, Abid Ami Karum International Airport, has been able to handle large passenger planes since 2011, which has resulted in an increase in passenger and cargo inflows and outflows. Since other increase in capacity by the end of 2013 can serve 1.5 million passengers per year, which is, I suppose, you'd have 500,000 non-tourists and 1 million tourists at this rate. You know. The island can be reached by flights operated by Uruk Air, Kenya Airways, Qatar Airways, Turkish Airlines, Fly Dubai, Mango Airlines, and Coastal Aviation. Well, there you go. Culture. Zanzibar's most famous event is the Zanzibar International Film Festival, also known as the Film of Dahau. Dahau country. I really want to know what Dahau means. D-house. Remember that. You stupid idiot. See if you can remember D-house. It's the boats and stuff like that. Every July, this event showcases the best of Swahili coastal art scene, including Zanzibar's favourite music, Taarab. I'm beginning to like Zanzibar in terms of favourite music, ferries and airports and stuff like that. Important. So if you want to go to the International Film Festival, you can actually see Swahili Taarab. Important architectural features of Stone Town are the Livingston House, the old dispensary of Zanzibar, the Galani Bridge, the old fort of Zanzibar, the House of Wonders. Oh, where are you going? I'm going to the House of Wonders in Zanzibar. As long as you don't go there by ferry, want to catch a bus, care about waste and the fact that everyone's starving. The town of Kichis features Hamni Persian baths built by immigrants from Shiraz, Iran during the reign of Bakish bin Seb. Zanzibar is also the only place in Eastern African countries to have the longest settlement houses, formerly known as Mishansi Flats, which were built to aid East Germany for the aid of East Germany in 1970s to solve the housing problems in Zanzibar. Oh, isn't that the only countries to have the longest settlement houses, formerly known as, well, look at that. I was thinking something historical, 1970s East German houses. There's a section of Canberra which looks exactly like East Germany. It's the Australian Sporting Institute, which is now sort of pretty defunct, but they have these large Soviet, you know, barracks and things. It was where we were going to train our Olympics and get them to march up and down. And, you know, obviously Australians don't operate that way. You know, where are you going? Oh, I'm going off to an East German camp where in Canberra. But isn't that beautiful? Gee. And so the House of Wonders and D-How, that's something I really want to remember. Media and communication, we're getting to the bottom here. Normally in Oman and all those places, there's just one or two or something. Let's see. 1973, Zanzibar introduced the first colour television service in sub-Saharan Africa. Because of a long-standing opposition to television by President Julius Nyerere, the first television service on the mainland, Tanzania, was not introduced in 1994. Gee, that's so hard to understand. So Zanzibar was where your telly went. Oh, I'm going to watch some telly. Were you going and catching a ferry across there? The broadcaster in Zanzibar, called Television Zanzibar, TVZ, has recently changed name to the Zanzibar Broadcasting Corporation, ZBC. Rather than ABC, they've got ZBC. Oh, fantastic. Following an enactment for an act to make the public corporation monitored under the Ministry of Finance by the Treasurer Registrar. Among the famous reporters of TVZ during the 1980s and 90s were the late Awiwa Awawa, the elder sister of Annie Awa, the famous Tarub singer. Wow, during the 1980s. Nia Musa, Shiva Mulud, and Fatima Mazi, Zanib Ali, and Ram Ali, and Kamas. So it's Tarab, Dihau Tarab. Wow. Zanzibar was Zanzibar, I like ZBC. Zanzibar has one AM radio station and 21 FM radio stations. God, in terms of landline communication, Zanzibar is serviced by the Tanzania Telecommunication Company Limited and Zantel Tanzania. Almost all mobile internet companies serving the mainland Tanzania are also available in Zanzibar. Education. In 2000, there were 207 government schools and 118 privately owned schools in Zanzibar. Zanzibar has three fully accredited universities. I'm just stunned. 900,000 people at three universities. A university for every 300,000 people. And so Australian universities have 40,000 people in it. Students and staff. That's mind-blowing. Let's read it. Zanzibar University, the State University of Zanzibar, SUZA, the Samat University, previously known as University College of we have sort of RMIT University. SUZA was established in 1989 and located in Stone Town, in the buildings of the former Institute of Kashi and Foreign Language. Wow. It's the only public institution for higher learning in Zanzibar, the other two institutions being private. In 2004, three institutions had a total enrollment. Well, here you go. The three institutions had a total enrollment of 948 students. So it is not uncommon in Australia to have a first-year class of 1,000 students. Like one class, I think, in international relations, you will have 1,000 students. Three universities for 948. The primary and secondary education system in Zanzibar is just the administration. I just can't think you can have a chancellor and vice chancellor. It hurts my head. The primary and secondary education system in Zanzibar is slightly different from that of Tanzania mainland. On the mainland, education is only compulsory for the 7 years of primary education, while Zanzibar, an additional 3 years of secondary education are compulsory and free. Students in Zanzibar score significantly less on standardized tests for reading and mathematics than the students on the mainland. This is just it makes me sick, some of this. ZBC. In the 1970s and 80s and 90s, national service after secondary education was necessary, but it's now voluntary and a few students volunteer. Most choose to seek unemployment or attend teachers' college. This is my whole problem in terms of that teachers' colleges suck off people who can't make it in the real world, unfortunately. Let's go. Anyone want to guess? Soccer is the most in Bahrain, Qatar, UAE, Oman, Comoros, obviously Uruguay, Paraguay. Soccer is the most important thing. What do you think is the most important sport in Zanzibar? Football is the most important sport in Zanzibar, overseen by the Zanzibar Football Association. Zanzibar is an associative member of the Confederation of African Football, not FIFA. This means Zanzibar's national football team is not eligible to enter the CAF competitions such as African Nation Cup, but Zanzibar's football clubs get representation at the CAF Confederation Cup and the CAF Champions League. The national team participates in non-FIFA football tournaments such as the FIFA World Cup. The ELF Club, because Zanzibar is not a member of FIFA, their team is not eligible for the FIFA World Cup. Well, that is actually a great tactic. I just think this is people to, you know, people who are interested in Australia winning the World Cup is just to show that, look, I'm irrational. Do you want to speak to me? I'm totally irrational. Okay. The Zanzibar Football Association also has a Premier League for the top clubs, which was created in 1981. In 1992, there was been a judo in Zanzibar. The founder, Toshi Shimoka, established a team that participates in national and international competitions. In 1999, Zanzibar Judo Association, ZJA, was registered and became an active member of the Tanzanian Olympic Committee and International Judo Federation. Well, there you go. There's Annie Allen, an English woman who, these are notable people, who came to call Zanzibar home after doing extensive things. There's Beeb Kidub, a Tarab. You're going to have to look this up. There's what? Oh, well, this, here you go. Freddie Mercury. Farouk Bolsa, British singer and rocket queen, was born in Stone Town, Zanzibar, age of 18. He fled with his family to the United Kingdom during the Zanzibar Revolution. Labina Hamid, artist and winner of the Turner Prize, and a pioneering artist of Taarab. I'm going to have to look this up. Well, thanks a lot. And we'll get this off. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.